Last week, I was in New Orleans, checking on the city's progress. Here's the lead. It is a sluggish, discouraging effort. The people laboring to make New Orleans habitable once again are more often than not homeless themselves. It's a city full of people with fatigue showing in their eyes. Every hour, someone tells you what the big problem is, but you seldom hear about a big solution. We've been focusing on one street, Honeysuckle Lane. It's in the built-up wetlands called New Orleans East, a part of the city that was developed in the 1970s and 80s, a destination for black flight from the west side of the city. It is neither historic, like the French Quarter, nor opulent, like the Garden District, nor was it quite so devastated as the nearby Lower Ninth Ward. Honeysuckle Lane is a middle-class street, a few blocks south of the levee that keeps Lake Pontchartrain in its place. Being near the water was a plus when it came to flooding. The land gets lower the farther you go away from the lakeshore. But the elevation didn't help when Katrina's winds blew in.
I was one of the luckier people out here in the east.
John Brown's duplex on Honeysuckle has an upstairs bedroom with the roof peeled off. Now it's more like a porch. And then there are the two chimneys on the north side, the back side of the building, one for each unit of the duplex.
You can see the back of the house here.
Whoa.
Two duplexes.
What's your neighbor's half that really took it, huh?
Right.
Oh, my gosh. The chimney is just,
chimney, right.
Caved right in.
Just caved in, and it caved in the roof inside of the house.
An insurance adjuster has seen it, and Mr. Brown has a contractor lined up. He's looking at an $80,000 rebuilding project. He is a 60-year-old divorcee who is retired from a veterans hospital. He's a former college golfer, and before Katrina, he was living the life. One day a week, he worked as a golf course marshal at the nearby Eastover Country Club in exchange for 6 days of playing there. He says he shoots in the 70s.
They say another year or so before they can possibly get one of the golf courses in operation.
The grounds took such a beating from all this.
Took a beating, the greens and fairways.
If everyone comes back to Honeysuckle Lane, John Brown says he's coming back, but not if he's just one of a couple of residents. There are now several homes on the street whose contents are piled at the curb, waiting to be carted. That's progress. But no one can live here yet. Water service is rare. There's no electricity for miles. And at the local malls, there's nothing open. We looked through the wind-ripped bay doors of a Midas auto repair shop. The brown sludge on the walls reminds you how high the floodwater stood. The owner is John DeVincent.
We took about 6 feet.
6 feet of water.
Unbelievable.
What do you think is going to become of that store in New Orleans East?
I could only hope in due time as the sector will repopulate, it'll become a viable store. But I think it's a 5-year time frame, and that even could be conservative.
The New Orleans East shop was John DeVincent's expansion project in the 1990s. 25 years ago, he took over his first Midas shop from his grandfather. It's on Canal Street, near the center of New Orleans, where the city at least has a pulse, if not a very vigorous one. Last week, some workers were still cleaning the Canal Street shop up. John DeVincent says he could handle more business on Canal Street if there were more people with cars and if he had some of his 7 employees back.
No one has returned. We find it so odd. We even gave him a bonus to retain them after the storm, thinking that that would help retain them. But what they did, they just took the bonus and evaporated.
What you're describing in terms of your business is a labor shortage.
Problem is, there's no one to advertise to. There's nobody at their homes.
But for a worker to come here and work on Canal Street in New Orleans, or someday, conceivably, at your place in New Orleans East, workers got to live someplace.
That's the problem, too. There's no housing. It's the chicken and the egg scenario.
You hear a lot about chickens and eggs in New Orleans nowadays. Who comes back first, the school children or the school? The doctor or the patient? One thing is for sure, the creditors are there before the customers.
No income, but here are all your bills. And that's what we're faced with right now, massive bills and no income.
Well, some people who have massive bills and no income seek the protection of the courts and they declare bankruptcy.
I don't want to do that. It goes against everything that I'm going to try and pay my creditors.
Such reticence did not inhibit the local power company, Entergy New Orleans. It is now in Chapter 11, working with a $200 million loan from its parent company, Entergy Corporation. The bankrupt local utility is not winning the hearts and minds of its customers.
Testing. Let me just welcome everyone for another one of our series of town hall meetings.
At last week's New Orleans town meeting, chaired by Mayor Ray Nagin, one New Orleans East homeowner, Dennis Scott, vented his fury at Entergy, posing the question on everyone's mind.
When will there be power for people to come home? Okay, we can't even start rebuilding our homes until we have power. So Entergy need to be placed on the carpet. I know they're having some financial difficulties, but we're talking about a Fortune 500 company here who's talking about they're working on a $200 million loan. We got thousands of people spread out throughout the United States who wants to come home, but if you say, we don't have power. The basic necessity, NTG, you need to be, I hate to say it, shot.
Dennis Scott later apologized for that last remark. His city councilwoman had told him there would be no power until summer. Entergy now says otherwise.
All of the East will have power before the end of the year.
That's Rod West, the Entergy executive in charge of restoration. On Tuesday of this week, that's a few days after we spoke with him, Entergy New Orleans, under pressure from the city council, announced that it is doubling the number of workers restoring electricity. After it went to bankruptcy court at the end of September, the company sent home hundreds of out-of-town utility workers, so work actually slowed down. Again, Rod West.
We're managing this restoration effort with the resources that are available to us. Keeping in mind that Entergy New Orleans, that is the company that manages the New Orleans area, is in Chapter 11 bankruptcy.
I want you to explain this, though, to people who don't understand how utilities work here. Entergy New Orleans is in Chapter 11.
That's correct.
It's a utility with about
190,000 electric customers and 146,000 gas customers.
Entergy, writ large, has 2.7 million customers.
You're talking about the Entergy Corp, not Entergy New Orleans, but yes.
And it earned $900 million last year. How does Entergy Corporation, $10 billion revenue, $900 million earnings, how does a company that's owned by that larger corporation go bankrupt?
Entergy New Orleans is a separate operating company. Entergy Corp is only the parent company or predominant shareholder of Entergy New Orleans.
And predominant shareholder means it holds?
It holds the outstanding shares of the company.
All of them?
Yes, that's what I mean when I say a wholly owned subsidiary, yes.
Even with double the crews, Entergy New Orleans faces a huge task. This is an Entergy bucket truck crew. They were on a New Orleans East levee working on a power line when we caught up with them. Fred Wallace is the supervisor.
And right now we're trying to get them up. They was down, and we're trying to get them up.
This is one pole right in front of us. We've got a man up there. How long will it take to just fix this one pole?
Well, right now we're just trying to get it up on a pole because we're going to pull it further down the line and pull it to sag, what we call sagging the wire.
You got a lot of poles you got to work on.
Oh, yeah, I got four or five more poles to go.
Fred Wallace and most of his crew have lost their homes. And the same goes for the people you see repairing the New Orleans water system. All over New Orleans, crews from the Sewerage and Water Board are doing repairs. Trees blown over by Katrina have ruptured water mains. Cleanup workers damaged them, too. Larry Davis and his crew spend their days repairing them.
Yes, we're making repairs to an outlet service. It was leaking, and we have several.
Now, you have to explain, the tree was uprooted by the
hurricane. Yes, sir.
And what did it do to the water supply here?
Yes, it caused the lines to snap. And main lines, a lot of main lines have been cracked because of the damage from the trees due to the storm. And we're trying to repair as many a day as we can.
How many a day do you get to work on?
I'll give an average six.
Marcia St. Martin is executive director of the Sewerage and Water Board of New Orleans. The Water Board has relocated to the west bank of the city, where many of its employees are still sheltered, sleeping on cots. She told us last week that New Orleans East will have water soon.
We anticipate being able to have full water services restored to all of New Orleans East and have that water to be able to be certified as drinkable within the next 25 days.
But water can add insult to injury. On Honeysuckle Lane, we heard flooding inside homes last week. Water gets turned on, but washing machines or refrigerators with ice makers were dislodged in the flood and ripped from the pipes, or taps were left open when no water was flowing. Another problem we learned about is crime. One resident of Honeysuckle Lane saw two men looting a neighbor's house last week. That's something the police say that they're concerned about, too.
A lot of people are coming home and their whole house is wiped out. They complained about a lot of looting. Just make sure whenever you see somebody packing up that they can verify that they're supposed to be there.
That's Lieutenant Kim Williams of the 7th District of the New Orleans Police Department addressing her officers. Their station house was flooded. So for weeks, they've been tenants in the most unlikely station house you've ever seen. It's called the Crystal Palace. Captain Bob Barty is the local commander.
This is actually a brand new wedding reception hall owned by the Vietnamese community out here. It's very well kept. It's swept. It's mopped. It doesn't stink. You know?
You have more chandeliers and filigree than any police station.
We'd like to stay here.
No. Has there been any crime committed out here in the past month?
That gentleman over there, with his back to us right now, was arrested today as he was part of the cleanup teams that are out here from all over the state. And he decided that while he was cleaning up, he would take a safe.
The suspect was cuffed to a gold brocade banquet chair. Captain Barty says there were 15 arrests last week. Most of his officers, he says, are homeless, their families dispersed. It is almost 12 weeks since Katrina hit. And if you want to see real activity in New Orleans East, this is the only place to see it. The landfill. On five lanes of gravel road, dump trucks of all sizes merge to deposit the debris of life before the flood. On one field, a dozen rows of white refrigerators wrapped shut with duct tape stretch off into the distance. One cannot resist the imagery. Tombs of household memories, like the tombs of New Orleans cemeteries that stand above ground. This city has not yet come back to life.
You can hear other stories from our visits to Honeysuckle Lane at our website, npr.org.